So just like a house or a car has to be maintained, if you want it to run well and last, you need to maintain your site. You know, keep a house safe and comfy to live in.
And just like keeping up a house, it's going to cost money.
Yeah.
And it will take time and energy. But maintenance costs are far less than the costs involved in fixing a broken site or a hacked CMS.
Right.
Just like it's cheaper to get an oil change every 3,500 miles versus replacing your engine because you didn't get an oil change.
Yeah, that's painful.
From Bright Umbrella, this is Control ClickCast. We inspect the web for you. Today, Emily and I are tackling demystifying web maintenance for clients. I'm your host, Leah Alcantara, and I'm joined by my fab co-host,
Emily Lewis.
Today's episode is sponsored by Fostermade, a versatile web development agency specializing in custom application development, content management systems, and user experience design. Through partnerships with designers, agencies, and organizations, Fostermade is committed to building better digital experiences. Visit fostermade.co to learn more. This episode is also sponsored by ArcusTech, who hosts this very show. Have their expert technical team manage your servers so you can focus on working on your client sites. They also happen to be an official Craft CMS hosting partner with various plans optimized for that, and they just expanded their servers to the EU. Sound good? Take 15% off the first 3 months of your single or multi-server monthly plan with the discount code CONTROLCLICK103. We'll spell it out in the show notes. Valid until the next episode airs, so sign up today.
Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to remind our listeners that we have a donate link on our site. So if you love Control Click and have a little spending money, consider donating to help us keep the show going. $1, $5, whatever you can spare will help us continue to deliver great content, high quality audio, and transcripts for each and every episode. Now to today's topic.
So today's topic is kind of almost an addition that we didn't think of initially.
Yeah, so we started this demystifying series and we knew we wanted to do design, development, and CMSs, and that's what we did, and we thought we were done. And then we realized that there was one more area we wanted to talk about, web maintenance.
Yeah.
That's something that I think that we haven't been as great at communicating with our clients about what that means to them. And I think we're getting better, which is why it occurred to me this would be a good episode to tackle.
So while our clients go to us for these websites and to execute these websites, a lot of the time they don't quite understand that a website is a living thing. It's not just one and done and you just let it go. And that's why we want to talk about web maintenance today.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, before we do that, let's start off with why we're doing this series in general, especially for those of you who may not have tuned in to the three previous episodes.
Absolutely. So, I mean, 98% of the time, our clients and prospects we talk to don't understand the technicalities of a website. And they shouldn't really. They need to understand their business, and they turn to us to handle the website. Mm-hmm. And throughout that process, we've learned, and we're still learning, that when we talk to our clients or prospects, we need to avoid getting technical, because more often than not, talking about tech and feeding them acronym soup just leads to misunderstanding. And that is really what underscores all of this. Talking tech with non-tech people can, you know, cause intimidation. And that's really not good for a working relationship.
Mm-hmm. And so with this series, we're really sort of trying to bridge our understanding as technology experts with something that our clients can relate to, and specifically focusing on how it benefits their business. Mm-hmm. And so in this series, we wanted to share what we've learned in talking to our non-techie clients about websites and web projects, because we really think it can empower clients during a process that can be really confusing for people. And on top of that confusion, it has high stakes. Yeah. A website is a significant investment. Even if it's a small brochure site for a small business owner, that is still a significant investment for that business. So focusing on good communication at the start really sets the tone for how we want to communicate throughout the projects. We want the client to feel, or you know, even the prospect before they're a client, mm-hmm. to feel that it's really easy to talk to us, that we are talking in terms that they can relate to, that's focused on their business, versus trying to show them how smart we are with all the technical jargon that we know.
Yeah.
This approach we also feel helps set expectations, especially for when you're starting off a new project with a new client that you don't really have a relationship with, taking the time to talk with them and make sure that they're not intimidated and they're not confused and they feel open to ask questions mm-hmm. if you introduce something that's confusing. That sets expectations at the start of the project, and you really do reduce those sort of surprises that come up along the way or the disappointments that client may feel when you tell them, well, I explained to you what IA was, and and they don't really know what that means.
Right, right.
And then I think, you know, that's all a benefit to a client and arguably to an agency or a freelancer who wants long-term clients, because it really helps clients understand your value. They don't just know you built them a website. They understand that you're working with them in this, that you're not just off building something and then coming back to the table with a product, that it's a process and a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, Leia, you were just at EEConf mm-hmm. and you talked about this. I'm putting you on the spot right now because I hadn't asked you yet, but how was your talk? Because you talked about how to talk human to clients.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it went well. I had really good feedback from the audience about how the talk went. And I think part of the reason why it went well is that it was a necessary conversation. Mm. And while like everyone in the audience is pretty confident over their technical skills, mm-hmm. you know, a few people came up to me and said, like, I really need to be better at explaining why I invest this much time in learning my craft and how mm-hmm. it relates to their organization, right? Because designing and developing for the sake of developing is not enough.
Yeah, not at all. There has to be a purpose to it. And most of us, I mean, the people we have the pleasure of talking with on this podcast and getting to know at conferences are really invested in their trade, their craft. So they do tend to see the bigger picture, but are they taking the time to communicate that to their clients?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, throughout this episode and the previous episodes, we're going to be sharing a few analogies. And I think that was what really resonated in the talk that I gave, was I forced people in the audience to put themselves in the client's shoes. So when you're thinking about a giant purchase like a house or a car, I ask people, like, how many here built a house?
Right.
How many here can say that they're a subject matter expert in homes and mm-hmm. HGTV doesn't count? And only one person lifted their hand, and I don't know what that person's history is, but that really underscores the fact that we all make these types of decisions, and we don't want to be put in a position where we feel uncomfortable. So why mm-hmm. should we put our clients in the same position?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you had time at the end to get any audience stories. Did that happen?
Yeah, a couple of stories. And it's funny because anyone who was at the conference listening to this right now, it was all about SEO consultants.
Oh.
And usually there's a third party involved asking for some technical requests to do some magical thinking, in my opinion, over how to implement something to make SEO work. And the bottom line, though, and I pushed back, is even though I understand, I know everyone here listening understands where I'm going to go with this, it can be annoying when someone who isn't a subject matter expert like we are in development or on the web tries to tell you how to do your job. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely frustrating. But I challenge them to ask, like, have you actually asked them why the request is even being given?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just do the request and grumble it? You know, mm-hmm. you know, like, you have to push back. You have to learn to push back and, you know, have them explain what the process is? Because at the end of the day, I'm thinking about our own particular client.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right? At the end of the day, it wasn't an SEO situation. It was a user interface, user experience situation. And the solution was not some weird hack that this SEO person requested us to implement. The solution was moving and changing the layout so the call to action was more prominent. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And if we weren't responsible professionals and asked the whys and put ourselves in a position where we considered the business goals and we just simply executed, because it's easy to execute. That's mm-hmm. what we're good at. But taking the time to pause and figuring out, is this necessary and is this in line with the business goals or organizational goals of your client, really helps in the long way. And at the end of the day, our client, quote, sided. It's hard to like really explain because I don't know if there's like a versus kind of thing. But the mm-hmm. bottom line is our client listened to us because mm-hmm. we understood the problem.
Mm-hmm. And we took the time to explain it to them. We didn't just ask the why. We then said, okay, so you're saying you want this to happen. Well, instead of that hack, this is what we propose doing.
Yeah.
They went with a reasoned business information. You know,
right.
They went with their own side because that's the solution that gets them the overall picture that they need. So,
right. We articulated it in terms they understand, and that's yeah. what we're going to be repeating throughout this entire episode.
Yeah, that's the whole point of this entire series.
So if you haven't tuned in to the first three episodes of the series, definitely add them to your queue. We did take a bit of a waterfall approach to the discussion, and we started with design, and then we continued to front-end development, and then CMS development. In our design episode, we discussed web design in terms that anyone could relate to. We defined information architecture, which was IA, which is the acronym that Emily used earlier, user experience, UX, and even the process of web design, all from the analogy of and perspective of building a home. So, for example, we tell a client, IA is like working with the architect to figure out, one, what rooms you need, and two, where they should go. Like, where do you want the kitchen to be? Where do you want the bathrooms? And specifically, where these rooms need to be in relation to each other so the experience of your home makes sense. Do you need easy access between the kitchen and the dining area? Or maybe you need the kitchen closer to the laundry room. Who knows? It's all dependent on the goals. Then we'd explain to the client that for a website, IA is the process of figuring out, one, what content you need, like text, video, images, etc. And two, how that content should be organized, including in relation to each other.
And then, as Leah mentioned, our next episode in the series focused on front-end development. And in that episode, we tried to make sense of the acronym soup that so often confuses clients, HTML, CSS, JS, SEO, RWD. And we tried to define those acronyms in relatable terms using car analogies. Mm-hmm. For example, we'd explain to a client that HTML is like the components of a car, the hood, the doors, the tires, etc. These have to be defined before you can do anything to them, like decide on the color or the seat material. And that would be CSS, or the look and feel of the car. So for a website, HTML is the components of your site, headings, photos, videos, body content, whatever you have. You define that, and then you use CSS to say what typeface and color is used for text, what the HTML should look like.
Mm-hmm. And then for the last episode, we did focus on content management. It was interesting because we really tried to broaden the type of analogies that we were using. And so this was a little bit out of the box. We used a pizza party analogy. So for example, we'd explain the content management discovery process like ordering a pizza. So you don't just order a pizza. There's a million different ways that can be interpreted. You order types like Neapolitan, New York style, Chicago style. Or ingredients, right? Knowing exactly what needs to be included in your pizza is key to getting the pizza you want. And so the same is true in choosing and building a CMS. We want to know all the different content ingredients of your site, whether it's just text or photos or videos or forms or more. That way we make the CMS that's exactly what you want.
Yeah. And I think other than providing you a recap of what we've done in this series so far, I think it also illustrates that it is really possible to talk about what we do as web professionals in terms that anyone can understand. Like, you really can find almost anything that's common to living on this planet to explain it, you know, whether it's gardening or cooking, or if you want to talk about like having things like having a car, having a house. So you really can find something that your client really relates to and find a way to put the work you're doing in terms that are, you know, that are going to connect with them. Obviously, like if you were fortunate enough to have a client who's a home builder, you've got some really easy analogies. But we've had clients who are lawyers or financial consultants. And so we work to try and put things in terms that they're going to relate to that way.
Yeah.
So it's about connecting. You don't have to do the analogies that we do. You may think that's a stretch, but if I'm talking to my aunt about building a pizza and she gets that, and then I'm like, oh, it's the same thing when building a CMS. We want to know the different ingredients you want. She'd be like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, this reminds me of one of our clients, because you mentioned lawyers and trying to put things in terms they understand. And she actually helped put things in terms that we could understand about her, because she called herself CSI for numbers. And that was an example of how to take something that's abstract and maybe difficult to explain in terms that we could understand.
And instantly connected.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we should do as web professionals.
Exactly. So today we're going to be talking about maintenance. We think this is the last episode in this series, but we may come up with something else that occurs to us later. But as I mentioned at the outset, I don't think we've been as good at talking about maintenance to our clients, particularly when we should. I think it's something that comes up after we launch, but I think after preparing for this episode and just some of the last projects that we've finished up, I really think maintenance should be talked about from the beginning.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that it's something that you are going to have to do if you want your website to serve your business. It doesn't matter what kind of business. It can be a school, it can be a nonprofit, it can be a small business owner, you know, an author, whatever, but they're going to have to maintain their site on some level if they want it to serve their business. And that's something that I think we could do better about talking about sooner in the process and more throughout the process. So hopefully some of the things that we've prepared today will help us and help you, our listeners, and everybody wins.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the first step is defining what maintenance is. What is maintenance when it comes to websites? So, you know, Emily, you already kind of mentioned that it's important to impress upon clients how important it is to maintain your site. But it's also important for our industry to know that a website is a living thing. It has a lot of moving parts and it might not be visible. You can't maybe see it, but computers and software age quickly. And I think the easiest example is that there is a new iPhone every year. A new smartphone of different brands, of course. But believe it or not, that actually affects your website.
Right.
And at its simplest definition, web maintenance is making sure that what your website has and what you've launched stays as secure, stable, and as fast as it can be. So what does that mean? To achieve that goal, there's a few ways you can maintain a site. The obvious one, I think, for most of our listeners would be CMS software updates, right? How often are you going to be making sure that the add-ons and the core software is its latest version? Another thing that's important are server and hosting updates, because not only is the software that you've installed important, what about the underlying system that runs that software? That also needs to be updated on a regular basis. And are you checking that? And especially nowadays, speed and security is important to keep top of mind and making sure that your site is still working as best as it can be. Techniques that used to work in the past, code that used to work in the past that seemed to be fast, may not be over time, right? But beyond how technology ages is also how the business evolves, right?
Right.
Any successful nonprofit or business evolves in some level, right? Mm-hmm. Their digital presence, including their websites, need to reflect that. So maintenance can also be viewed as more than just updates and the tests that I mentioned. For example, what about full-on CMS upgrades or migrations?
Right.
Or even site redesigns and refreshes.
And I think our previous analogies really work great for this maintenance topic because I think most of our clients will understand having to maintain where they live or what they drive.
Right.
So, for example, keeping CMS software up to date is like getting your annual termite inspections on your home. The inspection helps prevent termite damage and also often dry rot at the same time on a home. And up-to-date software helps prevent hackers from getting access to your site and data. You know, termites of a different kind.
Right. Or how about a car analogy? Keeping CMS software up to date is like taking your car in when there's been a recall. Mm-hmm. Without it, your car won't perform as well and you could even be in danger. You know, similarly, your site won't perform as well and your data could be at risk if you don't update your CMS software regularly, especially when the update includes a security patch. So now that we've got all of that out of the way, how do you plan for maintenance? We're going to continue with these analogies to address the why and the client benefits of specific types of maintenance. But before we get to those types with a client, I think it's a good idea to introduce the concept of maintenance from the perspective of how business or nonprofit might budget and plan for it. And then you can get into specifics that are relevant to a client.
Yeah, I agree. I came across this really good article on Medium from Mike Swartz. It's not a name I recognize, but the piece is called How Long Should Your Website Last? And it really just introduces site maintenance and site longevity in specific timeframes that a client could easily plan around. Because honestly, in our experience, if our clients can plan and budget for it, they do make it happen.
Yeah.
We just need to get, you know, get in their ear in enough time to get into those budget cycles, which right. is, again, why I think maintenance should be talked about from the beginning. You know, I don't agree 100% with some of the timeframes he suggested in the article, but I don't think it's really a prescriptive approach. I think taking this approach to planning for maintenance is really a guideline. And so even the suggestions we're going to make today may not align one-to-one with your clients in terms of the specific timeframes, but I think you might see your own, you know, maybe instead of our monthly suggestions, you might see those as maintenance that might be every 3 months.
Right.
Whatever it works out. With that in mind, you could talk to your clients about web maintenance that they should expect every month. For CMS clients, software should be monitored for updates, especially those with security patches like Leia just mentioned. And not just the core software, we're also talking about add-ons.
Absolutely. I mean, some clients can certainly monitor this on their own, but mm-hmm. we also stay up to date on their behalf and inform them when updates are relevant to their installs. You know, this is just a courtesy, a professional courtesy, just something we do. And when it comes to actual updates, when we're talking about CMSs like Expression Engine that has multiple step updates, mm-hmm. we handle those for our retainer clients. But, you know, for clients on CMSs with one-click updates, I think it's like an oil change. Yeah, your client can do it themselves, but your client could also have you do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we actually have one client on Craft, which a lot of people listening knows has that easy one-click update most of the time. But she doesn't want to worry about it. It gives her a little bit of anxiety, I think, when we first were talking to her about maintenance and things like that. So she was very willing to go on a maintenance retainer so that we can take that anxiety off her plate. Mm-hmm. So now we have an annual retainer to check her Craft install for updates at least once a month.
Which I bet would surprise, I think, frankly, it surprised me that she was willing for us to do that. But it just underscores that if you're thinking, if you really understand your client and what's important to them and their business, you would know there are some of your clients where this would make sense. They don't want to worry about it. They would be able to budget for a retainer for that peace of mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another thing that could be monthly maintenance for clients with WCAG requirements, that's the Web Content Accessibility Guideline requirements. A monthly content accessibility audit is a really good idea. And it's also like what Leah said, an oil change your client could do themselves, but could also be part of a monthly retainer arrangement.
So we have a client who needs to be a WCAG 2.0 AA in order to receive federal funding. And they have a CMS where many different staff members update and change content every day. So making sure that content passes WCAG is critical, like making sure all images have alternative text. Mm-hmm. You know, you could even combine this with an accessibility audit with HTTPS, you know, making sure that the content that the staff added over the month is secure.
Another option for monthly maintenance, especially websites with performance requirements. And I mean, frankly, these days, what website shouldn't be as fast as possible? Mm-hmm. Monthly page speed monitoring is a really good idea.
Right. One of our clients really relies on digital campaigns that send a lot of traffic to their site at once. So ensuring that the site doesn't crash and is fast, even on mobile, is a top priority. We have a monthly retainer relationship with this client that includes performance monitoring. We identify, you know, bottlenecks or problem areas, then fix them. And then the client gets a report at the end of the month.
So those are the kind of monthly maintenance that we've seen with our clients and that I feel like we want to introduce to our clients early on, you know, mentioning like the WCAG client. At the beginning of the project, we advocated that they set up internal processes for a monthly audit to make sure that the content is accessible and passes. Because it's not a gray area, it's pass-fail. If one thing doesn't pass, the whole page doesn't pass. Yeah. So that's something that they need to do on their end, but we could certainly provide as a retainer, or if that was something you offered your client, that's something you could provide as a retainer service. Beyond a monthly approach, there's also maintenance that your client could plan for every maybe 18 months to 2 years. And this type of maintenance is, I feel like the monthly maintenance we mentioned, that's pretty critical stuff. Like if it's not done every month, it should be done at least a couple times a year.
Yeah.
But the maintenance that you could do maybe every 18 months to 2 years is less about critical functionality and making sure your site is fundamentally sound and more about leveraging new technologies while keeping the effort and budget pretty focused. So maybe, for example, a client has a new digital marketing plan and they need a faster way to create custom landing pages. You know, maybe their current CMS and site, they can do it now, but it's slow and time consuming and they really can't customize them much. So maybe adding a better content workflow to their CMS, whether it's with an add-on or some custom development, is a way to improve that process, to improve the CMS without actually redoing the CMS.
Yeah, or maybe your client wants to add a way for their site visitors to customize the content they see, right? Based on their interests, right? It's like a little toggle or whatever. Maybe you as the vendor can implement HTML, CSS, JavaScript techniques on their existing site that lets them add a new way for a customer to interact without altering the fundamental site structure or design. Mm-hmm. You know, and both these scenarios are just like home improvement, like getting a new appliance or changing out the light fixtures. Or it's like even improving your car, like adding some high-end tires or a roof rack. These things aren't necessarily critical, but it's nice to have when the budget allows.
And if you work with marketing departments, which we do a fair amount of with our clients, they're always planning for the next year or the year after that. And so if you can talk about this sort of concept, maybe even present it as phase two of a project, you know, that we'll address in a year kind of thing, that can get them really excited because it's something new that they can use in their campaigns, but it's also something they can budget and plan for.
Absolutely.
And then I think the last type of maintenance that comes to my mind is really like the longest term maintenance, maybe every 5 years or when the time is right. I feel like this is like when you have a 20-year-old car like I do. And I've passed the point of really maintaining the car. It's not even worth it to get an oil change at this point.
Right.
It's really time to get a replacement. And now that I think about it, the same is true for my oven. So the home analogy works here too.
So what this looks like in terms of a website could be a redesign. But that could mean a complete rehaul, or maybe it's just a small refresh, right? Mm-hmm. For example, 5 years ago, again, it was only 5 years ago, people didn't care as much for design on phones. But now that the majority of people visit their site on their mobile phones, their mobile browsers versus desktop computers, it's a reality to make your site mobile friendly now. Mm-hmm. Same thing with your brand. Even classic companies like Coca-Cola and Nike tweak their approach on presenting their brand, even though the fundamentals stay the same.
I mean, it's almost like brand maintenance.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And your website is a major part of your brand.
This long-term maintenance could also mean maybe even migrating to a new CMS. 5 years is a really long time in the CMS world, and tech is constantly evolving and improving, especially in the commercial realm. Moving to a quote-unquote bleeding-edge CMS, as one of our clients described Kraft recently, really may offer more benefits for the client. Maybe it's easier content entry or better integration with Salesforce or greater control over page layout and design. Whatever the client needs as their business grows, their website and by extension their CMS needs to grow with that. And when you hit that five-year mark, growing by bolting on solutions becomes a problem. We are dealing with an almost eight-year-old site and CMS, and the client is growing and changing and really expanding how they use their website and their digital marketing. And they're not yet at the budgetary point to make a move to a new system. I cross my fingers we're getting closer.
Yeah.
But the reality is every new thing we're building for them, frankly, I'm having to follow old practices just to keep the system all feeling like the same system and easier to maintain.
Yeah.
You know, not able to use today's best practices. We're not able to easily put in an add-on. We're not even able to easily get them on HTTPS. Like, things require a lot more work when you're trying to make an old system work like new. So that five-year point may be time to really take a close look at whether your fundamental CMS and even website design is still serving those goals that the business has.
And I think you just underscored one of the really important reasons why maintenance in general is important. The longer you put things off, the more expensive and time-consuming it is to fulfill certain requests. And that makes it hard for us as vendors, too. If we haven't been communicating well enough with our clients the importance of maintenance, and then they have this request that they think, in their mind, is a, quote, easy or just basic request, because their site is 8 years old, it's no longer as easy or basic. If their site was maybe 6 months old, or at least, you know, or the system has been maintained to the point where it feels like a newer site, even though it's an older site, then those types of requests are definitely less expensive, less time consuming, and less frustrating for everyone involved. Yep. I think that's something that we need to impress upon our clients and even to ourselves, because right now we're talking about how a headache it is for us to develop on older systems. Can you imagine being an administrator trying to update pages in an old system when there's so many new features and better user experience in other systems, for example?
Yep. Especially like we're in a situation with this client, the one on the eight-year-old site, where we have some new staff coming in and who are using the system for the first time. And I'm not quite sure what their background or experience with other CMSs had been prior to this. But, you know, they're like, oh, can't we just do this? Can't we just do this? And sure, if this was a newer system, we really could just do those things, but it's not. So it takes twice as long as you'd like it to. And, you know, and that is a hard conversation to have with someone who's new and enthusiastic and just wants to get a bunch of stuff done.
Right. And trying to remember that 8-year-old coding practices too, right? So it's not just that the design and look and feel and the administration is gaining on its age, but what used to be, quote, best practices 8 years ago is harder to review and read and understand nowadays when you're used to better practices. Well, the bottom line is it's critical educate clients that their website isn't a one-and-done effort. It's a living part of a business identity, and it has to be maintained if it's going to support business and organizational goals, right? So just like a house or a car has to be maintained, if you want it to run well and last, you need to maintain your site. You know, keep a house safe and comfy to live in.
And just like keeping up a house, it's going to cost money.
Yeah.
And it will take time and energy. But maintenance costs are far less than the costs involved in fixing a broken site or a hacked CMS.
Right.
Just like it's cheaper to get an oil change every 3,500 miles versus replacing your engine because you didn't get an oil change.
Yeah, that's painful. But, you know, if you communicate that to your client, a business can plan and budget for that. You know, especially if we as a web partner give them the information they need in terms they understand to make informed decisions.
And I think this is as much of it is an opportunity to communicate better. It's also an opportunity to further fine tune our sales processes.
Right.
Like I said earlier on, we often introduce this idea of maintenance at the end of a project, but talking about it earlier on and getting a client set up on a retainer that's going to suit what they need, having it ready to go as soon as that project launches versus the, honestly, 3 months it takes of going back and forth to talk about whether you're going to do a retainer after a launch is a lot easier, I think.
Right. And I mean, there's so many different ways you can tackle this. In this episode, we talked about monthly ways to maintain and certain check-ins. It doesn't necessarily have to be just that. It could be something single serving like the CMS maintenance that we mentioned earlier, or it could be even simpler. At the end of the day, if you understand your client's anxieties and their goals, then provide those services for them.
Mm-hmm. And if you ask yourself, like, well, how do I know their needs and goals? Just pay a little bit closer attention to what's happening. For example, we have a client who's been with us, I think, Leah, since you and I partnered, and they're normally self-sufficient, don't need much. We update their CMS like once a year. But the past few months, some things have come up that they've needed some last-minute help for. And we haven't really had the availability to give them that like quick turnaround that we would like to give them. So it introduces to us, oh, there's something happening here that's changing. Let's introduce a retainer to them. Let's see if they might be a good fit for a retainer now that they are actually encountering these situations where they do need our help more frequently and they do want it to be a quicker turnaround than, you know, may typically have available. And so just paying attention to that pattern, like they really weren't a fit for a retainer arrangement prior to, I think, these latest things. But now some things have changed and now we're going to present it to them and see what happens. So you just have to pay attention to know what their anxieties are, to know what the problems are. Don't just fix stuff. Take a moment, be like, you know what? This is like the second time I've heard from them in 3 weeks, which is like the first time that's ever happened in 5 years.
Yeah, so absolutely. And for those tuning in, you guys should listen to our marketing episodes so that you can get tips on regularly checking in with your clients so that you can get a temperature check to see maybe they might be a good fit for maintenance.
All right. So I think that brings us to the end of today's episode. We didn't really cover any resources to share, but we will link to all the previous episodes in our show notes, as well as Leah's deck from her EEConf presentation.
Control Click is produced by Bright Umbrella, a web services agency invested in education and social good. Today's podcast would not be possible without the support of this episode's sponsors. Many thanks to FosterMaid.
We also like to thank our hosting partner, Arkistech, who wanted an extra shout out at the top of this episode.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you want to know more about Control Click, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Control Clickcast or visit our website, controlclickcast.com.
And if you like this episode, please give us a review on Stitcher or Apple Podcasts or both. And if you really like this episode, consider donating to the show. Links are in our show notes and on our site.
Don't forget to tune in to our next episode when Vanessa Dewey joins the show to discuss how design thinking can help smash workplace inequality. Ooh. Be sure to check out controlclickcast.com/schedule for more upcoming topics.
This is Leah Alcantara
and Emily Lewis
signing off for Control Clickcast. See you next time.
Cheers.